Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians 3, and then we're going to jump back to the Psalms. Ephesians and chapter 3. And I'm disappointed that Glennie's not here this morning. I trust he did get discharged. I know that was the plan. I'm looking back. I don't see him in the area he normally sits in. So I know he's watching live stream. We love you, Glennie. And he cheered me up. I went down to visit him. And I think it was room 315 down in Petoskey in the hospital. I went down, went and visited him, walked into his room. Now, certain people are attracted to certain kinds of preachers. I love you people. I love you. I do. I truly do. You know, we're basically all made of the same stuff. I love food. You know, Glennie's a kindred spirit. He loves food. He's down in the hospital. He gets out. He gets discharged. I said, well, what are you going to do? First thing you get out. And I knew what he was going to do. I knew what he was going to say. He said, well, I'm going to stop at Culver's. I'm going to get a fish sandwich before I get out of Petoskey. And then when I cross the bridge, I'm going to stop at Clyde's Drive-In. I'm going to get two burgers there. Glennie's a hamburger guy. He'll drive 100 miles out of his way. You ask Ethel. He'll drive 100 miles out of his way to get a hamburger. I love Glennie. And this is what's funny. This is what I chuckled. I walked in. Now, sometimes you go in the hospital and people are watching news or they're watching, ESPN or something like that. You know what Glennie was watching? The Food Channel. He said, the food here is terrible, but he's watching the channel. And the whole time we're there visiting, we're watching him make something, some kind of fancy dish or something. His mouth is watering and my mouth is watering. We're ready to go. Made of the same stuff. Boy, I just so appreciate that. In fact, last night I went to the teen formal and my only job was to chaperone the buffet. And I did a good job too. I really did. Ephesians chapter 3. Stand with me out of respect for God's word. Let me say something. To people come back after being gone all year, turn your cell phones off. There ain't nothing to look at on your cell phone right now. You need to hear the Word of God. You need to pay attention to the Holy Spirit and not be distracted. You say, well, I can multitask. I doubt it, all right? Just turn this, unless you have your hard time seeing and you got a tablet or something and you got a bigger Bible there, that's one reason I can see for having it. But man, give God his due. You come to church this morning to worship. It says in Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, circle that word, with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, and God, we ask that you'd arrest our attention. All of us need to hear from heaven. The one that's closest to you, closest to the heart of God, the most Christ-like, needs to hear from heaven. God, the one that is the farthest, the one that is not even born again yet, they need to hear from heaven. We all need to hear from heaven. God, would you speak to us and challenge us with this simple message this morning? We pray in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. This is not deep. I don't have a fancy outline. I'm going to give you just a little bit here right now, and then we're going to go to Psalm 8, and it's 8 verses, and I'm going to preach through those 8 verses as quickly as I can. Here's the message this morning, apart from it being Mother's Day, and we'll wrap it up at the end or after the preaching with that thought. But apart from that, you need to know this morning, however many hundred people are here this morning, pretty good crowd, you got to know this. God in heaven, and this sounds so shallow, but it's just the opposite of shallow. God in heaven loves you more than you will ever ever know. As a child of God, as someone that is not born again, there's a God in heaven that loves you. Please know that. Maybe you're here this morning, you're kind of feeling all by yourself. You're kind of feeling like nobody cares. Nobody knows the trouble you've got. Nobody knows the burden that you're carrying. Nobody knows what you got to face tomorrow or even yet this afternoon. There's somebody in heaven and he's on your side. There's a God in heaven that loves you. Let me tell you something. It's Mother's Day. He loves you more than mama. He does. And some of our moms, they know what loving is all about. Mom Raider, man, she's been in heaven for a little while now. And I sorely miss her. And she loved me when I was unloving. And some of us, we strained our mother's love, but they never quit. If I heard, I can hear my dear mother's voice say this right now. If I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. I brought you into this world and I can take you out of this world. I heard that again and again and again. And my mom wasn't the greatest cook. She was the goulash queen of the Upper Peninsula. We had it all the time, but my mom loved me. Man, you didn't mess around with Chip or little Timmy Raider or Pastor Raider when Ma Raider was around. And there's nothing like a mother's love. There's one that surpasses that 1,000 times to the power of 10 and beyond. It's God the Father. He loves you so much. Boy, you got to know that. And it's Paul here says to the church at Philippi, speaking to the love of God, that you'd be rooted and grounded and settled, that you'd understand this. And he uses the word comprehend. There's no way this finite mind can comprehend the love of God. I don't care what kind of academician you think you are or how many $64 words you can use. You as a finite human being and myself as a finite human being, I'm 65 years old and I still cannot comprehend the love of God. The Apostle Paul said, my prayer for you is that you would comprehend the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of the love of God. And then he adds another dimension, and he speaks to world without end, throughout all ages. We worship an infinite God. And I know you can't understand this, and I can't understand this, but just by way of introduction, I want you to know this. There's a God in heaven that loves you even more than you love yourself. He's done everything he can for you, and he's provided a way for you to go to heaven, and then he provides for you every step of the way. Simplistic message. But together, let's go to the 8th Psalm. Psalm 8. The 8th Psalm. Here's the Shepherd King on the Judean hillside. And even for the husbandman, the farmer, it was common for the farmers, for the husbandmen to sleep in the field at night until the harvest was complete. It was just to protect it. Well, when they would do that, they were susceptible to looking at the handiwork of God. They could look up from those Judean hills, those Bedouin shepherds, they could look up and they could see him. And the king of Israel was, before he was king, he was a shepherd. He could look up and in the quiet of the night, he could see all the handiwork of God that declared the glory of God. And he had a personal relationship with Jehovah God. He was the man after God's own heart. And he would spill over and he would write some of these psalms. Some of them he wrote later, some of them he wrote earlier. But he'd look up and he'd see the handiwork of God and he'd say, who am I? Why would the creator of this world and the entire universe even be concerned about little inconsequential me? Who am I that he would love me? Look what it says in Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Excellent. That speaks of greatness. That speaks of overwhelming. That speaks of over the top. The goodness of God, the love of God is my cup runneth over and my saucer too. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We worship the good God of heaven. And the goodness of God and the blessings of God lead to repentance, the scripture says. Man, if you just turn off the electronics, if you just get away from all the chatter in the world today, if you actually took some time, like some of our predecessors, forefathers before us and foremothers before us, and actually see the work of God going on all around, you'd fall in love with God like you've never loved him before. The psalmist here just spills out and he says, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent, how majestic, how over the top is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory, and they might circle the next word, above the heavens. This world isn't big enough for the glory of God. This planet that we live on isn't big enough for the glory of God. This is just one little part of his creation. And the psalmist just spilling his guts and overflowing from his heart. He says, thy name is above all the earth. Thy glory is above. It's like this. The earth isn't a big enough platform. The solar system, not a big enough platform. He said, man, your name is above all that we know here in this world. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightst still the enemy and the avenger. Number one, that first verse, the overwhelming bigness of God. And then the fact in verse 2 that God does not need me. Now, he's going somewhere with this thought, with this psalm. But we get full of ourselves too much. Too much. We think we're the king and the queen of the universe. Where everything revolves around us and my emotions and my feelings. And and even my good decisions and my poor decisions. And that's not it at all. When you're in a right relationship with God, you realize how small you are. You say along with the Apostle Paul, oh wretched man that I am. You say with the prophet Isaiah, woe is me. I am undone and I'm a man of unclean lips. Jacob, he was called a worm in the sight, in the presence of God. Do you remember? You've got to understand, you've got to come to the right conclusion that God does not need me, but he wants me. He doesn't need you. What do I have to offer God? What do you have to offer God that he doesn't already have? He tells us in the scriptures at the day of the triumphal entry, if the people didn't cry out, Hosanna, he said the rocks would cry out. Creation, in Romans in chapter 8, creation groans waiting for that day of redemption. Even the inanimate objects like rocks and trees and hillsides, that creation of God is just waiting for the soon return of Christ. And here we are, the redeemed, those that deserve to go to hell. And God sent his only begotten son. We should reciprocate some of that love. It should stop being about me and my four and no more. It should stop being about what I have and what I possess and what's on my plate. And it ought to be we live here for the glory of God, like Paul said in Ephesians in the book of, or in the Sunday school hour, he was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, a willing bond slave. He said, I owe him everything I have and he deserves more than I could ever give him. But I understand everything I have is from him. Psalm 19, would you turn there? Just turn over a few psalms. 19th Psalm, verses 1 through 3. God didn't get a good deal when he got me. And I hope you feel the same way about yourself. And what a deal I got. Heartache for heaven and rags for riches. Rebellion, I traded that in for redemption. Man, what a good God we have. It says in verse 1, the heavens, inanimate objects. By the way, he counts the stars and he knows them by name, the scripture says. This is the God of the universe, the ultimate only God. He said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. That's why Paul said in Romans, thou art inexcusable, O man. You're going to one day stand before God. You either were born again or you were not born again. And you'll be without excuse because there's natural revelation around us that tells us there's a creator, that there's a God in heaven. And then we have the word of God, the written revelation to explain to us and manifest who Jesus Christ is. So we're without excuse. The psalmist looking up at the stars at night, he said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Man, he's got it squared away. He's got everything prioritized. He understands this earth is just a speck in this solar system, which is just a speck in the heavens above. And there's a third heaven where God dwells, and he's the ultimate God. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightst still the enemy and the avenger. God didn't need me. God doesn't need mankind. Come to that conclusion as soon as you can. God could do it without us, but he loves us. That's where he's getting to. Verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, when I contemplate, when I ponder the work of thy fingers in my own life, and in this universe in which I live, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, with majestic order. The creation of God and all of the glories, even this earth in which we live, although it's sin-cursed and been here for about 6,000 years, and the curse of sin is upon it because of man's rebellion, we can still see the beauty of God. The psalmist could still look up under the heavens and say, oh God, you're an awesome God. God, you're a big God. And when I consider this, the work of thy fingers, thy hands, the moon, the stars, and all that you've done, look what he says here. Verse 4, what is man? Boy, there's a question. Who am I? Why should God care? But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. God gives us, verse 5, opportunity and life. For thou hast made him, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? You understand? God visited this earth 2,000 years ago. God sent his only begotten son. He didn't have to do that. He did not have to do that. If I were God of the universe, I'd have sent this world spinning into the fires of hell prepared for the devil and his angels. But that's not what God did. What is man that thou visitest him? That thou art mindful of him? Why would God even care about you or even care about me? But he does. And what is man? Verse 5, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion or to rule over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. God loves me. God doesn't need me, but God loves me. And when I recognize that, I realize what a rebel I really am. You cannot live your life in half measures and expect the blessing of God. Amen. We're to love the Lord thy God. Here's what Jesus said, greatest commandment, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. If you choose to live for God in half measures, you'll never know the full blessings of God. And I'll tell you as kindly as I can, good luck with life. You're going to get bruised up. There's going to be heartache. He still loves you. You're born again. You're still going to heaven. If you're born again, you're still going to heaven. But man, if you live your life in half measures, you'll never get the full blessings of God. Please, I want you to know that. We ought to love God with a love that makes all our other loves look like hate. It ought to be when you compare one love to the other. Hey, let me help you right now. This is a big part of the message. I will help you get through every problem you will ever face. Right now, I'm going to give you some Bible for that. Every problem you will ever face. I'll backtrack just a moment and say this. If you're here or watching live stream and you're not yet born again, you've never repented of your sin and received the love gift of eternal life, that love gift that is found in the only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and whosoever calleth on him shall be saved, the scripture says. All right. And the first thing you got to do is you got to get born into the family of God. You get born again. You receive Christ. After you receive Christ, God never promises anywhere in the book that you'll no longer have problems. We have problems. We have valleys. We have mountains. There's difficulties. There's tragedies that even come into the life of the child of God. But God promises that if you'll do this, man, everything is going to be fine. Everything is going to turn out all right. And it's this. It's this simple. It's a simple statement. It's what the psalmist is saying. It's what he's put to pen. Love God supremely, forever, first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know the verse. And all these things will be added unto you. God says, if you put me first, if you love me priority, if I'm always first place in your life, I'll meet your every need. I take care of the sparrows. I take care of the lilies of the field. Same passage, Matthew in chapter 6. I'll take care of you. The psalmist testified to that as well in Psalm 37. All things work together for good to them that, what's the next word? Love God. Love him. And are the called according to his purpose. You say, preacher, you're oversimplifying it. No, I'm not. I'm telling you exactly what the word of God teaches. As a born again child of God, if you will love God supremely, forever, first in your life, never a question. If there's a conflict, there's no conflict. It's Jesus first. If you'll do that, He'll take care of all your problems of life. You'll still have them, but they're already handled. They're already settled. You say, you're oversimplifying it. No, I am not oversimplifying it. That is what the Word of God says. Mediocrity and lukewarmness, half measures in the life of the child of God. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew. And we'll finish up with Psalm 8, but let's go to Matthew real quickly and verse 22. Chapter 22 and verse 36. Matthew 22 and verse 36. Make all your other loves look like hate. That kind of simplistic, childlike love is deeper than any dusty old academic theologian and whatever words they know. That's why you can be a brand new saint of God, a brand new born again child of God, and be more spiritual than someone that's been saved for 25 years. The difference is the heart, the love. They used to love God that way too. Don't ever get like them. Fall in love, fall head over heels in love with Christ. Remember when you used to love your wife? That's not good. That's not right. That is not good doctrine. Here's what I wanted to say. Remember how it used to be. All you had to do was get a phone call. Your whole day changed. Man, if you just hear that voice. I know Deb, that's the way she felt about me all the time. Yeah. If I could just hear your voice, you were so in love. That ought to be our relationship to Jesus. Look what Jesus says here in Matthew in chapter 22 and verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? There's a lawyer trying to trip up Jesus. Hey Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? There's a lot of commandments. There's the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. There's over 3,000 commands in the Word of God. What's the greatest one? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And that is all the second great commandment is like unto it, loving your neighbor. That's all that God requires. He just wants you to love him first and foremost, with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your soul. Go back to Psalm 8. Verse 7, all the sheep had dominion over all the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. That's how much God loves us. It's a big responsibility. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, he ends the same way he started. How excellent, how over the top, how magnificent is thy name in all the earth. Here's the deal. God knows me and he still loves me. God knows you and he still wants you. That's a redeemer. That is a savior. You bring nothing to the table, just a repentant heart. That's all that he requires. That is it. He invites us to intimacy as a child of God. He invites us to grow. You aren't going to grow unless you love Jesus supremely. You can you'll stumble forward if you give him half measures, but you're not going to grow. And by the way, your whole family's going to miss out on it. Somebody in that family's got to love God with everything. Where God is always first. Where the local church is always first. Where time of prayer, Bible study is always first. Where there's never any discussion, it's Jesus first. And seek first the kingdom of God. And nothing is going to get in the way. God says, I'm going to take care of that one. I'll meet your need. And he does it again and again. He invites us to intimacy. He invites us to growth. Give me all your burdens. Cast your burden upon him. Cast all your cares upon Jesus, for he careth for you. And by the way, all said and done, and here's what the psalmist realizes. We love him because he first loved us. The truth is, we were little rebels down here in this world doing our own thing, and he loved us before we were even born. And even after we were born, we still chose to rebel, and he loved us even when we were unlovely, and we're still unlovely. We're worms. Paul said we're wretches. Who am I? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And then to give him all of this opportunity called life, The shepherd look up at the stars and see the handiwork of God as he looked at the night sky, and he'd see the glory of God, and he just burst out in song and in love with God. You can love God like that. But he did love you first. Oh, we all know the verse for 25 of the greatest words ever spoken. 25 of the greatest words ever penned by way of inspiration. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. That's the God we serve. Amen. What is man? Why would God care about me? You might have something out of proportion in your thinking. You might be a young person and have something out of proportion, and you think that Pastor Rader is something he's not. You might, well, I could see why God would love Pastor Rader. You know, he's the leader of a church, pastor in a church, or Pastor Bill, or Pastor Josh. I can see that, but not me. Hey, listen. I lived on Chunk Road. We were a poor family. I had nothing to offer God. We weren't a church-going family. Man, I learned to cuss. I learned to smoke in Boy Scouts. I learned all the bad things. My mom and dad were a party. They were the partying crowd. That's the way I grew up. And God loved me even then. God had his hand on my life even then. God, I don't know where you're at in your life, but know this morning, and I'm done. There's a God in heaven who is holy and righteous, and you don't deserve him, and I don't deserve him. But he loves you, and he wants to use you, and he wants to give you a bigger platform, and he wants to use you and bless your children and your grandchildren. He wants to make you a shining example of what a born-again sinner is, a sinner saved by grace so that others will come to Christ. And go beyond that and come right back to that inner circle again. Here's the deal. God loves you. And he's willing to take your rags and give you riches. Man, take your heartache and give you heaven if you just come to him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no one's looking around. Father, would you bless this altar call we're going to have, speaking, working hearts. And God, there are probably some people watching. There are probably some people in this auditorium that aren't genuinely saved, and they need Christ this morning. If you this morning want to receive Christ as your Savior, we're going to have an altar call here in just a moment. But first, I'd like to lead you in the sinner's prayer. If you want to be born again, it's as easy as this. The perfect Son of God so loved the world, so loves you, that he took your place in death on Calvary's tree, on the cross. And if you would receive what Jesus did for you there, you will be born into the kingdom of God, the family of God. It's just simply being sorry for your sin and inviting Jesus in, asking for forgiveness, and inviting Jesus into your life. If you would do that right now, right where you're seated, with your heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, just pray like this, not out loud, to God in your heart. Pray these words, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I deserve hell. I'm lost. And I want you to be my Savior. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I trust you right now for salvation. Thank you, Jesus." Amen.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.